very busy week. If you will be in Las Vegas this week, we have our new Voices Under 30 on Thursday night and 40 Under 40 on Friday night at the Aria. Then we are in New York City next week for Game Changers, and Media Innovators is just a few weeks away on November 2nd in New York City. I hope to see you at any or all of these events, and there is still time to register on sportsbusinessjournal.com. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, October 17th. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcore. A surprising move out of Miami, where the trailblazing Marlins general manager Kim Ng, the first female general manager of an MLB team, departed her position on Monday, saying she wasn't aligned with ownership, as the Marlins reportedly wanted to hire a president of baseball operations to work above her. Many were surprised, considering the Marlins made the playoffs this year, and the team's desire to hire someone over Ng to run baseball ops really surprised a number of fellow executives around baseball who have been impressed with the work of the Marlins general manager. But team owner Bruce Sherman reportedly expressed his interest to reimagine the Marlins baseball operations, and not surprisingly, Kim Ng felt it was best to move on. Her decision comes after the Marlins made the playoffs for the first time in a full season since 2003. Now remember, she became baseball's first female general manager in November of 2020, and now all eyes will look to see if she lands at another franchise. There are two current openings in very big markets. Yes, the Red Sox and the Mets are looking to fill their general manager or baseball operation roles, and she could be a candidate at either one of those organizations. But Kim Ng moves on from the Miami Marlins. Let's shift to football. The NFL's fall owners meetings kick off today, Tuesday, in New York City, and there is not a lot on the agenda during the two-day session. There is a proposed rule designed to slow down off-season head coaching searches, which, if passed, would ban in-person interviews with candidates employed by other clubs until after the divisional playoff weekend. So again, slowing down potentially open coaching searches. Owners will also hear updates from NFL officials on viewership, attendance, and other business metrics through 6 weeks of the ongoing season. There'll also be an update on efforts to improve diversity hiring. While insiders expect few votes on major business issues, SBJ's Ben Fisher notes it's possible owners will debate increasing team debt limits, the pending contract extension for Commissioner Goodell, Tom Brady's pending deal to acquire a limited partner stake in the Raiders, and possibly more. We will have more from these owners' meetings all this week on the Buzzcast. Shifting to college sports, keep your eye on Capitol Hill today. NCAA President Charlie Baker is expected to testify in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee today on Tuesday during a hearing on the Hill, which will look at the future of college sports. Now, Baker is expected to be joined at the hearing by Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti. This could be a very eye-opening appearance on Capitol Hill. And of course, the Senate Judiciary Committee has held a number of hearings over the past 3 years on college sports. And today, they get to hear from two of the newer members of college sports, Charlie Baker and Tony Petitti. And yes, we'll have more on that on future episodes of the Buzzcast. Moving over to the world of Olympics, we talked about the IOC meetings in Mumbai this week, and there will be a lot of Olympic news coming out of these meetings. It was no surprise that the IOC formally agreed to add 5 sports to the 2028 LA Games: cricket, flag football, baseball, softball, lacrosse, and squash were all confirmed for the LA 28 Games. All 5 were voted in as a single package. There were only 2 no votes from about 90 IOC members. It's an interesting addition for its global appeal. LA 28 Chair Casey Wasserman said that they have had conversations with baseball and the players union, and he believes that players are excited about the opportunity to compete in the Olympics. Now, baseball has been in and out of the Olympics. Many feel the sport would really benefit from major leaguers participating in LA in 28, but we know that is not a simple issue. All you have to do is look at the NHL's Olympic history and all the challenges that come with it, including breaks in a possible season and just overall alignment between the IOC and a professional sports league. One longtime listener emailed me that she was very upset by the Olympics adding more and more sports. Her point is that for the Olympics to reclaim their glory, there should be less sports, more streamlined, and more exclusive sports. She feels that opening up for more sports just dilutes it and blurs it and confuses it for the viewers. Interesting point of view, but the bottom line right now is that LA 28 adding 5 sports, and most believe that is good news for the sports involved. You are seeing the NBA and its leaders, such as NBA Executive Vice President Joe Dumars, go on a roadshow before the start of the season and meet with teams and players, and they have a specific message in their meetings. One, they want players to play every game, so no more load management. Two, they want to improve the All-Star game in February, so it means something. And three, they really want players to buy into the new NBA in-season tournament. So Joe Dumars and NBA Executive Vice President Evan Wash are visiting all 30 teams during training camp to emphasize the new rules around player participation. And the Boston Globe noted that they are telling players to play a full 82-game schedule. They want a more intense All-Star game. And when it comes to the in-season tournament, they're fielding a lot of questions from the players about the format, and they're trying to stress that this new tournament is an exciting new competition, and they really need the players to buy in. Dumars spoke to coaches and shared findings of a study that actually showed load management doesn't work as intended, as it fails to show that resting players correlates with the lack of injuries. But apparently, that didn't convince all the coaches, so this will be a developing story. But bottom line is, you see the NBA's priorities from a league point of view going into the season. We have talked a bit about whether interest in Formula One has leveled off in the United States, but we've said that corporate interest shows no signs of slowing down. And here's one more example. American Express is now Formula One's official payments partner in the Americas. This marks American Express's first sponsorship in a new vertical. Motorsports is a new vertical, and it's their first new vertical in over 10 years. So American Express has struck a number of new deals, but that's in sports that they have a history with. Golf, tennis, the NBA. This vertical, motorsports, is entirely new for American Express, and that's why it's important. Now, this gives them rights to the races in Austin, Mexico City, Sao Paulo, Vegas, Miami, Montreal. American Express will also sponsor the Formula One Academy in Las Vegas, and it gives American Express card members certain benefits and privileges at the races and race experiences. Now, this is a big deal for Formula One. American Express, as we all know, a very strong brand, a smart activator. They elevate every sport they are invested in, so I expect them to put a lot of resources behind Formula One. You know, I know it's all about the Phillies in Philadelphia right now, and maybe the Eagles, but the Phillies are up 1-0 in the NLDS. But another story in the city of Philadelphia shouldn't be overlooked, and that is the continued renovation to the Wells Fargo Center, a $400 million renovation. They've unveiled it in stages. They're unveiling its renovated event level this week ahead of the Flyers season opener tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. Now, the event level renovation was a $30 million investment. This project is fully funded by Comcast Spectacore, though the 76ers, who are tenants in the building, paid for their own locker room work. But these upgrades include locker rooms for both teams, player and performance facilities. There's a new players lounge, a new state-of-the-art medical facility. There's a coach and executive lounge, a family lounge, and a weight training room. So a lot here. And again, this overall is a $400 million renovation at the Wells Fargo Center. There's still some work to be done. They still have to unveil the venue's renovated facade, which will feature new LED signage. So a lot of work being put into this building. The next renovation, the event level, is unveiled tonight before the Flyers season opener. And if you get a chance to check out the renovated Wells Fargo Center, let me know what you think about it and any thoughts and comments you have. And finally, if you want a great review of what to look for in the upcoming media rights talks across sports, check out John Oran's SBJ media newsletter from last night, Monday night. It's on sportsbusinessjournal.com. He gives his take on the upcoming media talks around NASCAR, the CFP, the National Women's Soccer League, and the NBA, and more. It's a great review that is really worth your time. And that is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, October 17th. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.